Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning. I'm glad that you can join us on this last day of November. And this is Wednesdays with Willa. I am your host, Willa White, and this is my weekly podcast show that airs on Wednesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. It also goes on my YouTube channel as well as blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. I'm part of the Lilydale Radio family, so there are lots of shows to tune into throughout the week. If you'd like to learn more about those things, again, go to blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio. And if you're interested in events that are going on at Lilydale, look at lilydaleassembly.org. So on my show, I typically cover a spiritual topic relating to either spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, or more. I've had a lot of great guests over the years, and I say years because this is year six of the Wednesdays with Willa podcast. And if you're just finding me now, know that you can look back at the archive videos of the show and binge watch to your heart's content. I have a lot of people that reach out to me and email me thanking me for the shows and for the education about spiritualism and other spiritual matters and just having that spiritual discussion with my different guests. And we are blessed to have with us today Dot McCarthy. Thanks for being here today, Dot.
You're welcome. My pleasure.
Dot is a very special lady here in Lilydale, beloved by all, and she really is what I consider the equivalent of a fairy godmother, because she just shows up with things, she blesses people with her smile, but also just thoughtful gestures. You're one of the most thoughtful people I have ever met in my entire life.
Thank you.
So I want to make sure that you know that Dot is a very special lady. She is a resident of Lilydale, a retired psychiatric nurse. And that took a lot of effort and time.
I loved it. I never minded going to work. I'm sorry. You know, I know people say, nah, that's not true. But it is. Yeah. I love going to work. I just got tired.
Yeah. Okay. And eventually you need a break from all of that. But we're glad that you've continued on as a spiritual healer, serving in our healing temple here in Lilydale and at churches.
Sunday morning. Sunday morning.
So, yes. And she's a very healing, very grateful individual. And I knew she would be the perfect person to talk about dealing with ingratitude. Because at different points, we have had to deal with ungrateful people. And what do you do when someone's ungrateful and it bothers you and you just wish that you could find the words or find the right spiritual response to what's going on in your life.
Right.
So we're going to talk about how to deal with ungrateful people, how to deal with that ingratitude so that you can stay in your own lane.
That's right.
Because that's the bottom line.
It's very easy to cross the line.
It sure is.
Now they have cars that beep when you cross the line.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, things are modern.
We could use that on our person when we go out of our lane.
Right.
Something goes off.
Yes, when something goes off in that way.
Like a beep. You're out of your lane. Get back where you belong.
We really do need that spiritual reminder to keep on, even in difficult times.
That's right. I think some people feel that we live here and we believe in spiritual beliefs and we follow them, but we can get into the negativity just as easy as anybody else, and it's a constant.
Yes.
It's a constant watch of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy. I've seen it happen to me with the politics here. Just slide right in there.
Yes.
And
now
you gotta walk your talk.
Right.
And that's not easy.
It isn't easy to maintain grace.
That's
My definition of a saint is not someone who goes and lives in a cave and goes home. And my definition is someone who goes and lives among people and manages to deal with that with grace, because that can be a very tricky thing.
It's easier to go to a convent or a monastery. Of course, you probably have people there that irritate you.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
You know? But yeah, being with the masses.
Anytime you have to live with other people, that is something. Oh, hold on a second. We're going to have to try this again. So we're going to have to get back on. For some reason, maybe it's the rain, but one moment, everyone. If you're on Blog Talk Radio listening to us, we're going to have to start again. Looks like there's some problems with this, so we'll just see what we can do. Appreciate your patience while we get back on here. I'm going to try it this way as well. I prefer it on this other one. We will do what we can. And if that's going to fail us, we may have to start all over again, unfortunately. That hasn't happened, but...
Okay.
There we go. We'll do it this way and that way. And that way, we can always post this later on.
Recording in progress.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Wednesday's Priscilla. I'm going to give this another little try because we were having a little bit of technical difficulties at the beginning. We're going to start the show again so that you can have a sense of this beautiful lady who's with me today. This is Wednesdays with Willa, and this is a weekly podcast show that airs on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium. It also goes out on my YouTube channel, and it's an opportunity for you to connect with spiritual topics relating to either spiritualism, mediumship, healing, faith, family, or more. And it's really a special opportunity to have an organic conversation. I usually have a guest on the show, and today we are so blessed to have with us Dot McCarthy. Thanks for being here today,
You're
Dot.
Certainly welcome. My pleasure.
Dot is a very special lady here in Lilydale, beloved by all. She just has a bright smile, a sparkling energy about her, and is always doing just beautiful gestures for other people. You've given our family so much joy over the years.
You're easy to give.
I have to say.
Because you're grateful.
Yeah, we are very grateful. And my children, they know Dot. They come Dot with balloons and like other things. So
you never want to waste a balloon on an adult. You got leftover balloons, you get them to where they belong.
There you go.
To the kids.
And you've been such a fixture in Lilydale. And over the years, it's been wonderful to see you volunteer in so many beautiful capacities, especially as a spiritual healer at the Healing Temple, but also in the churches.
Yeah.
And Dot is one of the most healing, grateful people I know, and she's going to be great for this particular topic, which I'll announce in just a little bit. Dot has been a retired psychiatric nurse, and you've also been someone who has had your own life travails and come through them. And I encourage you to look back at the archive videos of Wednesdays with Willa, the time that I have had Dot McCarthy on as a guest before. People have really loved your stories
and your
insights that you've shared with all of us.
Don't be surprised if I say them over again. When you get it after 80, you repeat yourself a lot.
Of course. It's very normal.
And if they're going to check, they're going to notice.
Yes. So I wanted to also mention that if you are wanting to have information about Lilydale, that you'll want to go to lilydaleassembly.org. That has the latest information in terms of workshops and classes and when the summer season is going to start again. In the off-season, there is a Wednesday night Healing Temple service that is live in person, and they also put it out through Facebook as well. So you have an opportunity, hybrid service, if you'd like to come to Lilydale on Wednesday evenings. You can find more information about that on the Lilydale Healing Temple Facebook site. And look back at the archive videos, like I said, of Dot and other guests that have been on the show, because this is year 6 of Wednesdays with Willa. Now, at some point in your life, you've probably had to deal with someone who is ungrateful. And our topic today is dealing with ingratitude. And when we're dealing with ungrateful people, sometimes we feel emotions that are welling up in us. We feel we want to go past what would be considered a knee-jerk reaction and into a spiritual
yeah.
response. And I know that Dot's going to bring a lot to this conversation.
I hope so. Because I have to work on that every day. You have to work on it every day.
Yes.
Because you never know. It could be around the corner. It could be from your own family.
That's right.
But, you know. So, yeah.
Family or people we work with.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah.
As soon as you open that door.
Yes.
Sometimes you don't even open the door. It's a phone call. You know, somebody tells you something about the politics in Lilydale. And,
or the world.
The world. You can get world onto your TV all day long if you
yes,
want.
Yes, you can.
But the Lilydale politics usually comes in by a phone call.
Sure, sure. Every town has
more
it.
Information, yeah. So, yeah, it's really, I would have to say, you can't wait till your feet hit the floor.
Mm.
You cannot wait till your feet hit the floor because then you become, you're not prepared. You're not prepared for the day. And so I know I've probably mentioned this, but American Indians had a thing where you don't put your feet on the ground or the floor until you say five things that you're grateful for.
Wow.
Yourself.
Five
things. You cannot. It could be, I had a warm bed all night.
Right.
It could be, I can move my legs and they don't hurt.
Mm.
It can be something so simple. It can be, I thank you for my loving family. I thank you, I'm in a warm house.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It can be something so simple that you don't have to think about it more. You can just be laying in bed and be thankful. Because you can't get out of bed and start the day. Because really, it could be a phone call away. And if you're not prepared, it's so easy to get into the ego.
Mm.
It's just waiting for you. So what I'm saying is, you start your day by preparing yourself before you go out the front door. I have a little book. It's called Daily Meditation. It's not the book. It could be any book. This just happens to be Practicing the Course in Miracles. I got each one of my kids one of these. And I bought each one of my kids, Louise Hayes, You Can Heal Your Life.
Yes.
They read them, fine. If they don't read them, fine. Let them, give them to somebody else. But, you know, they have them. And if you, this takes 2 minutes. And a lot of times, there was one I marked, and it's because I love this. I could read this every day. And I just lost the page. But here's what it says. Your day is determined by you.
Mm.
I know people say, oh, no, somebody hit my car, you know. They ran over my foot in the parking lot. But you have to believe that. That's a spiritual belief that how your day goes is how you decide it's going to go. And if you need a lesson, believe me, it's going to be there for you.
It's going to show up.
And if you look at it as a lesson, you won't be as ungrateful about it. If you say, well, there it is. I'm sorry I lost my purse and all my credit cards. But you really start before you get dressed in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's such an excellent point.
You walking out the door without preparing yourself. Oh, walking out the door without taking responsibility for everything that happens to you today is up to you. Because people that are ungrateful feel like victims.
Yeah.
They feel things are happening to them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that I don't react. I certainly do. But it's starting the day that makes a big difference. If I look before I get out of the house that I'm responsible for the day, I won't be looking at blaming other people for it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Even if I get to my garage and somebody has parked their car across the front of it. You know, it can start that early.
Yeah, because you got somewhere to be.
Yeah. Oh, I'm always on the move.
Always is.
Moving faster than I found that I have to slow down a little bit. But it really, I'm telling you, it makes a difference. And if you have something with you, I can't say that I carry something, but I have something hanging on my. Even if you have something that reminds you personally, something you put in the car with you, You know, some people carry something in their pocket, a stone or something. It helps them, something that helps them remember. Because once you get out of the house and you get in your car and you're going to the store or the mall or wherever, you do sometimes feel like a victim, and that's what happens. So, yeah, the ungratefulness.
Yeah, that is important. I'm glad you started there, because if you can get your mind right and be of even mind, so that other people won't tip your mental canoe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Why are we letting it out there so for anybody else to do what they want with it?
Mm-hmm.
Even information.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't have to leave the house. And you can get a phone call and somebody says, well, guess what they did now? And it's like, and all of a sudden you're feeling like you want to tell somebody or share it because... Mm-hmm. But it's almost like, what am I going to do with this information?
Right.
Am I going to react to it? And the ego loves
to react. Ego loves it.
Everything.
It's almost like ego versus eagle.
Yeah.
That goes on.
Well,
yeah.
In this little book, it's the ego and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit, of course, what they call the spirit here is the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the Course in Miracles, They feel strongly that God sent the Holy Spirit to us here on earth. And but we don't use him enough. He's
mm-hmm.
there. He's like a counselor. He's like a sounding board. He's the one that gets us back to center, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, we react so much. I mean, I can turn on YouTube and see something. Oh, I love the one that's the... kindness, you know, acts of kindness.
Sure.
You know, somebody picks up an old man on the corner that fell out of his wheelchair. Those things make you really think people are good. People basically are good.
Yes.
And then, of course, you're seeing the shooting that's going on. Mm. And I don't know what that's all about. I can't imagine. But, I mean, I think what we do is then we pour out our heart to the people that are left behind, you know,
absolutely.
The people that are lost.
Absolutely.
But it's what you do with everything. I'm telling you, if you were good enough, it could go down to minute by minute.
This is true.
If you stay focused.
If you stay focused on it.
Yes.
So setting your intention when you first wake up
before
is
your
essential
feet.
For dealing with
yes.
your whole life, but also with possible ungrateful folks that you're going to
yeah.
meet out there, or
oh,
energy
there.
of ingratitude that's
yeah.
there. And really look at your own triggers about those
yeah.
things, too.
It's kind of, you know, I believe that inside each one of us there's an adult. I guess you can call it a fear adult.
There's an adult.
Yeah,
inside
that reason.
Each one of us.
That's very reasonable. And if we use it, it's there, and I know it's there, but, you know, we get into our emotions, we get into our little kid. You know, I am still amazed. You would think at my age we would have things pretty much down pat. But
well,
you don't.
Well, wisdom doesn't always come with age.
No.
Unfortunately.
No, that's absolutely true. But you'd like to think that you have grown a little.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what I would say, ungrateful people, that sometimes they're not outside the door, sometimes they're in, you know, because people come into your home.
Right.
And I'm getting better at when I react to somebody, why am I reacting to that person?
Yeah.
Is that person feeling entitled? Is that person talking down? And we can react to that,
mm-hmm.
you know, in a negative way. Or we can, using the adult is stepping outside your body just for a minute. And I loved the whole idea in NLP where sometimes we're on a stage and going out the front door in your car and going down to Walmart. You're on a stage.
Mm.
And the adult in you is sitting in the audience watching.
Observing.
Observing. You have a script.
Mm-hmm.
And they have a script. And a lot of times we play the same scripts over again with different people.
Sure we do. Archetypes
yeah.
we run into.
Yes. And so I love this in NLP. Mark Thomas loves NLP, and he
yes.
taught us all NLP when we were in school, fellowship. And I've talked to even my own family. I've talked to them about, you know, you and your daughter have a script, and you're using the same script all the time. And so you're reacting to her the same way because you both have this script.
So you know what I call that? It's a distinguishing between role and soul.
Oh.
The roles that people play, yeah. The role that you keep playing with them in this theater of life.
That's
versus
right.
Recognizing yourself as a soul and recognizing them as a soul.
You have to get outside of it, though.
Yeah.
You have to step. Visualizing the stage in the front row or the second row.
You have to be
row,
the spectator as well.
Everybody can imagine because we've all done it. We've been in the show. And if you tell somebody, you know, you both have a script, but you're using the same script all the time. And if you're sitting in the front
row,
you
recognize. For you?
Yeah. Well, it must be working for you because you haven't put it down yet. If you can get them in the front row, if you can get them in the audience and look at their script, all they know is only one person has to put the script down.
Yes.
And that's where you're in control.
Mm-hmm.
If
mm-hmm.
I don't react the same way out of my ego, they're lost because I haven't given them any
In that tug of war, you let go of the rope, the other person lands on their tuchus.
Well, they have to. There's nobody. So, they gave their line out, and they're not getting a response, which makes everybody change.
Does that bring up the matter of whether you have a conversation with them or not?
Scripts, a lot of times, are when you're reacting with the same people.
Right.
But you can use it anywhere. But it's just that when you're at the store, you're at the store, you're checking out at Walmart, and whatever, whether she's had a bad day or you're in a hurry or whatever, you can run, or you can behind somebody and see it. Oh, it's easier when you're behind somebody else
see
it, you know?
See it happen to someone else.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Oh, we're great at that. We're already in the audience, right?
That's right.
We're in the theater watching. But it's like taking that step back. It's just always taking the step back, and that's what we don't do all the time because we're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at somebody and saying, you know, they've probably been working all day.
Yeah.
And they're not going to put my groceries in that bag. They're going to let me do it because they're tired.
Or else they're going to throw them into the bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Push, push.
And
push.
I say to them, please don't make that too heavy because I have to carry it back
right.
into my house.
Right.
And they're usually pretty good. Sometimes I have to get to the trunk and rearrange it because it's too heavy
right.
for me to carry
exactly.
it. But I say, and the other thing that's really, I find helpful, I always look at their name, whether I'm at Tops or I'm at Walmart. And when they finish, I say, thank you very much, Tony. You have a nice day. People love to hear their own name.
Do you see how that makes it?
They love to hear their own name.
Yeah.
And when you're saying thank you to her, whether she's been pleasant or unpleasant, some of them are very, very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But they still like to hear their name, you know. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'll say, how do you pronounce that? Because I see different names now. I don't
sure.
know how to pronounce, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I use their name tags.
So I'd like us to lean into the understanding of when you have noticed that there has been a buildup, let's say, with a particular person, that you feel that they have been ungrateful for what you've done for them. And in that scenario, you feel like they didn't say thank you. Or
yeah.
they were adequately grateful,
yeah.
or really, like, not recognizing how much
yeah.
effort you put in to what
yeah. Yeah.
you did for them.
Sure.
What do you do then, Doc?
Well,
we all want to know.
One of the things I know is that I'm not doing it for thank yous. I know that right up the bat. Right off
I
the bat.
I knew you'd say that.
Well, the reason I say that, we just had a Thanksgiving dinner.
Yes.
And when we have a Thanksgiving dinner, we sit down and we've done this for years, but we
it's
have
the community Thanksgiving
it's
dinner.
It's a community
thing,
and people love to get. And we haven't done it for 2 years.
Yes, we missed it.
We missed it because
mm-hmm.
people come in and have dinner together, and it doesn't cost
and
them
it's
anything.
It's beautifully organized.
And we share it.
Yours truly.
Yeah. Well, I'm just one of many. So we have meetings, and who's going to call this person, and who's going to do this? And so when it was over, everybody was great there, all there. Everybody just gives their time.
Beautiful.
And Connie and I had a meeting to get it organized, and I said to Connie, I didn't want to do it without her. I said, you know, Connie, I remember once when I worked on something, and somebody sent me a thank you card. It was so nice. Do you mind very much if I send thank you cards? She said, no, that'd be a good idea. I said, good. I'll sign both of our names. And so I did. I sat down and wrote everybody that worked on that committee a thank you card. Because I remember one time I did something, Barbara Sansone sent a thank you note, and I thought, that's unusual. We need to know that we're appreciated,
yeah.
You know?
It's classy.
It's what?
It's classy.
Yeah, it is. And it makes people, well, not only that, they'll want to help you again.
This is true.
You know? And so I had to call the post office. He was so, Patrick works in the post office. And I said, Patrick, I have about 10 names here, and I don't know any of their box numbers. And I don't know where to look for them. You can't look in the phone book.
No, it's not
so
there anymore.
So Patrick gave me the, I don't think I'll get him in trouble. He gave me all the numbers to send them their thank you cards. I don't care if I hear from them. It's not. That wasn't the idea. The idea was letting them know that what they did for the Lilydale residents. I just said thank you for being part of a successful
mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving dinner. Because when people come, it's successful.
It is successful.
So, yeah. So maybe, you know, sometimes when you say thank you, because you like to be thanked, you know, they
but
always...
Here's the thing. She did a lot of the work, too.
Oh, yeah, but I
but
enjoy,
she may
yeah.
Do
yeah.
That. But let's deal again with this concept of, yes, you need to let them be in terms of dealing with a person who's ungrateful to some extent. But what do you do when you feel that they've been ungrateful? And what do you do internally in yourself when you're dealing with an ungrateful person?
For me, sometimes it's after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
By that I mean somebody might say something. Somebody might do something, whatever. And I know that my reaction is coming from the ego usually. Especially if it's anger. Especially if it's anger.
Yeah.
And I don't always catch it. I'll be very honest.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I'll feel it.
Mm-hmm.
And then that little defensiveness comes up.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Who in the hell do they think they... Whatever. He or she or it. What, I mean, there's... if I sit down and ask for guidance, it usually... It doesn't, I want to tell you something. I have allowed something come in and take over my mind, and I go back. You know how we play
sure.
it?
Yeah.
And I start practicing this. I worked in Mayville, and the trip from my house to Mayville, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And if I had something in my head all the way to work, I would say, please, God, take this out of my mind.
Mm.
Please, God, take this out of my mind. And would come back in. Please, God. As soon as it would come back in, I'd say, please, God, take this out. And sometimes it would take me a half hour saying that. I'll bet 100 times.
Mm. Mm.
So if I don't know how to work through it, like what did
yeah.
they trigger in me?
Yes.
First of all, is it true what they said? Mm. Why don't we start there? I used to always say, in a kidding way, if somebody ever called me a prostitute, I'd probably die laughing because it's the furthest from the truth. I use that as an example.
Right.
I mean, if somebody says I was selfish, I might have to think through it. But
right. What if somebody thinks you're ungrateful and
yeah.
selfish?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then, first of all, you got to say, you got to stop reacting.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to say that adult that's in the audience, is this true?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if it's true, then you got to deal with it.
So what if you feel that you need to actually confront that person?
Then I really pray about it. I really pray about saying
so
it in a way.
Have it in the right energy and have the right words that God has given you.
I have to decide if the only way I can make that person aware of my feelings. If that person doesn't know they hurt my feelings, then they're wondering why I'm having this reaction.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to decide whether saying that to them is going to be helpful to me or them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you say, no, it would not be helpful to them.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got to let it go. It's letting it go. But I'm not saying not to tell the person how
sure.
you're feeling. But if you work through it, sometimes it's not necessary because it's all within you.
So I usually try to stop myself with four questions. And the questions I use are, is this in my highest and best good, yes or no? Is this in the highest and best good of others or this individual? And then I'll ask question number 3, will this impede my spiritual progress?
Mm-hmm.
And question number four, will this impede the spiritual progress of others?
Oh, boy.
And those yes or no answers really help me.
I'd have to write those down.
If I stop and pause and ask those questions, I get such clarity within myself. And then, you know, it's about letting that go. But I feel freer to let it go or freer to proceed with things.
Yeah.
But if we're dealing with an ungrateful person and you know that it would be in their best good for you to say something, because if you're continuing to enable bad behavior, there is an element of a permissiveness that goes with that, a continuance of them, the kind of doormat.
Yeah, well, there's no consequences for them. Right. But you see, the thing is, for me, I only say this for me, those questions that you're asking, I haven't gotten out of the ego yet. You see what I mean? I haven't got up there. Those were questions. I would have to settle myself down.
Mm.
Then I can ask those spiritual questions. So for me, sometimes
first,
if I react, it's from the gut. Mm-hmm. My reaction's from the gut.
Of course.
My reaction from as a little kid.
Mm-hmm.
That said, you just hurt my feelings.
We've all had this knee-jerk reaction to something, and then there's the guilt afterward. Of, oh no, I just made this worse. Or
by
saying something or having a reaction with things, and because you have to take into account somebody else's understandings. It's hard to see that when you're in the moment.
Yeah,
it's hard to see that with that clarity. And hindsight is usually 20/20. You look over it, and you go, oh, now I know why so-and-so acted this way.
Yeah.
It was rough, tough with me in a particular way. And
they
were being reactive. Now, that's not to allow them to continue in that behavior, but it's a compassionate detachment that you get into, is the way I would word that.
Yeah. But like you said, I'm talking about the knee-jerk thing.
Oh, yeah.
And getting up to asking those questions, I have probably dealt with it and figure out, but I'm coming from a spiritual place.
Yeah.
When I'm asking those, what would be good for them, would be telling them how I feel be good for both of us?
Right.
Would it stop this behavior that I find not very nice?
And it might not stop the behavior, even if you were to have a conversation.
Well,
it
then
might
here's
not,
what I do.
But for you, it's a way of recognizing that at least you stated it, and at some point it might sink in. Right?
I stated it for my own sake.
Yeah. There
we
go. I
did it for my own sake. For my highest and best, because, you know, there's a part of me that deserves to be treated nice.
Yeah.
And something that I have found that I do is that I surround myself with people of like mind.
Ba-bum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When someone shows a behavior that is not kind, they don't have to be saints. I don't mean that.
Oh, is that perfect?
If they care about people, I have a tendency to surround myself with those kinds of people.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got a lot of good friends that are loving and kind, and not too many of them are taking pot shots at me.
But at some point, do you decide? How do you cut to stop giving to a person? What happens then? The time where you decide, I'm going to stop giving to this person. These are tough questions, folks.
I have to say I'm a giver.
She's totally a giver.
Yeah, I'm a giver.
So you keep giving and giving and giving, but is there a point where
you
stop giving?
Well, you know, there's a point where if you giving is taken away from somebody else being independent, you've got to really watch that.
Yes. Yeah.
That happened to me when I first got into mental health. You want to, you know, help everybody.
Of course.
And so I had a friend that was pretty needy at the time, and of course I loved giving her advice. She loved it and thanked me, and then it was like every day, what do you think I should do? And I thought, oh boy.
The tendency is strong.
Oh, it was so obvious that I couldn't miss it, and I'm thinking, I can keep giving her advice, and don't you feel good, because now she's going to go do what you told her to.
Maybe.
Or you can shut down, yeah. Or you can keep your mouth closed and say, well, what do you think you should do?
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard to give up sometimes, because if you know the answer, or you think you do, But taking away somebody's independence,
I think there's that recognition of you can't do someone else's homework for them.
Yeah.
That you have to encourage or, I guess, wean them from you.
Yeah.
Wean them from you. But you don't have to say, I'm weaning you from me.
No, I don't.
You could just kind
that.
Of gently.
You gently stop. You're just not doing it as often. Because
I
always
trust in your journey.
Yeah.
So
well,
good.
See, I always make too much food. So giving food out.
Awesome brownies.
Yeah.
This lady made
yeah. Well, you know, you practice for years. And so you know, when you have excess and somebody isn't cooking, it's still, and sometimes you say, well, I won't do it every day. Maybe I'll just do it every other day.
Right.
And wean off of it.
Yeah.
And then sometimes they might give you little clues. I have plenty of food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have food left over from the other day. And that lets you know
you can
that
back
it's
off
time to
bit.
Back off,
mm-hmm.
that your need isn't so important to give away the food,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just had this happen, and, you know, and somebody said to me, you know, my refrigerator is full. And I thought, that's a little message to you, and that's okay.
Yeah.
It's time. You know, so I think it's important to be aware of those little things, you know, because sometimes you're given because you want to give.
Right.
And I think in all honesty, if you care about people, you start listening to cues that say it's enough.
Yeah.
You know?
It's not pushing.
Well, you don't want them to be dependent
or food
on you.
Or,
you know, that can happen. People
yeah.
get dependent on you, you know, and then you have to say, you know, I'm not cooking today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but... yeah, so you're always learning lessons.
Absolutely.
I mean, it doesn't make any difference how old you are. You're always learning lessons.
So at some point, do you think that it's healthy to stop expecting gratitude from a person? Do you think at any point that there's a place for that?
I feel the gratitude is not anything to do with me. It has to do with them. If I'm given something... I usually give it free. I don't have anything attached to it.
Sure. But we teach our children to say please, say thank you, the manners
yeah.
that are associated with that.
Yeah, but when I'm talking about giving something, it's usually adults.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's adults that are not doing too well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had that happen, of course, you know, where they're not grateful. But that's not why I was given it. I wasn't
mm-hmm.
given it to be thanked. So there was no, that wasn't in there. That wasn't
part of
the equation.
You even tell your children, okay, well, someone's going to give you a gift. You're going to say thank you even if it's something you didn't want.
Oh, sure. But my kids are all in their 50s.
Right. But I'm just saying that but
yeah.
we still expect that behavior from adults.
Yes.
We still expect them to use their manners, to express their gratitude,
yeah.
even if it's something that they didn't want, instead of going, I don't like this. This didn't. Like in a restaurant, it's almost like they think the world's a restaurant, and they're like, ah, because this was exactly what I ordered.
Yeah.
They shove it from
no,
them.
No, I
it's
agree.
Interesting.
No, I
yeah.
understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
And when I get a thank you, it's to me that's a little added thing. But if you're teaching, see, I'm not teaching anybody.
But you're also
to
teaching
receive.
The adults in your life, too.
Yes.
You're not just teaching the children. You're teaching the adults in your life, too.
Yeah. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if I'm giving something to somebody and they're not saying thank you, does that mean I'm going to stop doing it?
So for some people, that
you
is
could.
What they would do. Let's
That's
say,
your decision.
People who are like spouses, right?
Yeah.
If somebody's like not grateful for what you've done for them, or you know, you can feel that they're taking that aspect of you or that duty that you perform for granted.
But you always have the choice.
But
you
always
continue
have
to give.
But you know, so many people come and they're like, I can't stand my husband doing this, or
yeah.
I can't stand my sister. She's so ungrateful. Look
yeah.
what my mom did for her.
Yeah.
Like there are
yeah.
all these scenarios.
And what's going to be your response? It constantly goes back to what are you going to do about it?
Right.
You
got to
remember when somebody comes in and tells you about something, you're only getting one side of the story.
This is true.
Always remember that. In marriage, you're only getting one side of the story. But I know what you're saying as far as being grateful. That's why I wanted to send the thank you card.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to say thank you to them because they had given up their time and money. and they were a part of the community coming back together.
Oh yeah, it was such a beautiful thing to
To be serving your, you know, they, six people came into my house and we did 30 pounds of mashed potatoes.
Can you believe it?
But I didn't do it by myself.
You were preparing the feast.
We were preparing the feast.
For Whoville.
Yes. For you and your family.
That's right. We appreciated it very much.
So, but no, I see. I understand what you're saying, but you don't give for the thank yous.
Right. But is there a place for setting limitations?
Yes, and you have to
Let's
know what
that,
that is.
Let's talk about that. Let's talk
You have to know what that is. You don't want to take away somebody's independence.
Mm-hmm.
If you need somebody to be dependent on you, you better recognize it.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to do some damage,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you're not helping them at all. So you're absolutely right. And that happened, and I was doing a lot of giving, 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 and I realized it was time to stop.
Mm, right.
And I didn't say anything to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew that they were becoming a little dependent.
Mm-hmm.
The gratefulness wasn't always there, but that wasn't while I was given because there was other younger people involved.
Yeah.
But it was time to stop.
Yes.
You know, and let that person be independent and take care of his own.
Right.
So if your giving is coming from a kindness and and wanting to be good to another human being, you can't make too many mistakes. You listen to the cues that you pick up on, you know.
And part of this dealing with the ingratitude of other people is dealing with your own resentments about doing these things, especially if they're repetitive things that you feel you have to do.
If you start feeling resentment, you got to stop immediately.
What if you can get out of it? Like I
can get out of
folks that are in the scenario where they have adult children who can't carry a job.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to caregive for them, not on a basic needs level, but on a mental health level and all those kinds of levels.
Yeah. I think one of the things that then as a parent you look around for help.
Mm-hmm.
There's always help. It's just if you start looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always help. And sometimes it's a phone call away.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's maybe counseling, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's pulling in other members of the family.
And what if there are no other members of the family?
Then
and they feel that they've reached the end of their rope about those things.
There's nothing wrong with praying for help to come.
Yeah.
Praying and to your higher self. Because, you know, sometimes when things happen between your children and you, that has been set up years ago.
Mm.
And you got to look at your own responsibility in it. Not feel blame and responsible for them, but see how that has developed.
You know?
And sometimes a third person can be that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Can show
it doesn't
up
have to be
that.
A professional person. It can be somebody else in the family. It can be a friend that has that kind of experience. But also it can be a friend that has that view of what's going on. You know, like if you were watching your neighbor with their children, there's an objective view that you have. They might come knocking on your door one day and say, what do you think? And you might be able to say, I think you've been responsible for them long enough.
Mm.
You know, in a kind way.
Yes.
And not like you're trying to do therapy with them, but they asked, you know, and you have a different view of what's going on.
That's true.
Yeah. But, so really giving, there's a responsibility in giving, too, you know?
There is.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
you can create dependency.
Yeah.
You can create build up of resentment over time.
Sure.
You can create a world that you might not be comfortable in a long-term way. And so there are aspects of thinking ahead in terms of that, too.
Yeah, and I think one of the ways you can do that, again, is spiritually, always checking in with yourself.
Yes.
You know, everything, you know, sometimes it's nice to have somebody dependent on you, if that's where you want to go, but that's not necessarily where I want to go, but you know what I mean? You've got to check yourself. Why are you doing this?
Yeah, because you have to value your own time, you have to have the effort that you need to give to your own life so that you can give to other people.
Sure.
It's the idea of, all right, put the mask on my own face on the airplane before I put it on someone else's.
Oh, yes. I know.
There are those aspects of, well, I put your mask on first. Why aren't you more grateful?
I guess I believe in a basic goodness of people.
Yes.
They've been injured, they've been hurt, they've been ignored, and they're coming out of that sometimes when they're dealing with you.
Mm-hmm.
And but if you believe that, you know, it's that whole thing, you know, Hitler was created by God, just like the rest of the people outside of ourselves in politics and whoever, whether you're Democrat or Republican, not viewing the opposition, you know, that everything, anything goes as long as you win, you know. And so even outside yourself, it's like if you believe in the corruption of what's going on, the only thing you can do is send healing and love to that, you know,
yeah.
Whatever that is.
Send love and light, because the only thing that helps.
It might be a moment where that person has a moment of remorse or whatever. I don't even know, but whatever they need. We don't even know what they need.
I have two more things I'm going to ask you about. Dealing with, when you dealing with ingratitude, let's say the person that you feel has been ungrateful for what you've done for them is amazingly, wonderfully thankful to other people for the things they do. And so you feel this unequitable gratitude thing that's happening. Like if another person does that for them, oh, thank you so much, that was wonderful. And then if you do it for them, I know, it's an odd thing, isn't it?
It is an odd thing, but I think that comes, when I think of that, immediately family comes into effect. Because everybody in the family is dealing with their own outside. Everybody, because I have a lot of sisters, they started out with six of us, we're not all together anymore, and we're not all alive, but I have six sisters, and they're all dealing with their own stuff.
Sure.
And so even when we were all together, we had very small quarters. You know, we had like a dorm, six bunk beds, six beds, like bunk beds, but they're down. And so now you get six sisters and a brother, but my brother had cerebral palsy, so he wasn't in the family dynamics as such.
Sure.
We took care of him.
Yeah.
So they're dealing, like even high school, they're dealing with their own stuff from high school. And then they're dealing with their sisters who have different roles in the family.
Sure.
So I've been used to dealing with that for years.
She had so much practice.
Yeah.
That was her boot camp.
So now my sisters, my one sister lives here across the parking lot.
Yes, she does.
My sister Alice lives by. My sister Lou comes. My sister, and I consider Eileen now my sister. She's my sister-in-law. She said she couldn't get into the family, so she had to come through a different direction.
Aww.
So she feels like, because we go on vacation again.
Sure.
So
it's lovely.
In your family, sometimes we have issues with our family that don't have issues outside. My families, all my families are dealing with outside stuff and their own kids. And then they're dealing with one another. So I know that there's that, because I have had such a large family, and I'm aware of all their dealings with their own family and outside. And then there's that secondary thing that they're dealing with you. And so, yeah, it's a sidestep.
It is, really.
And I think if you always keep in touch with yourself as a loving person, you can get through it.
Mm-hmm.
The issues come up. It's not the issues. It's how you're dealing with them. Does that make sense?
I agree.
I know, my sisters know that I love them.
Yes.
We don't always agree.
Yes.
You know, we have different personalities.
Mm-hmm.
And, but that love is there, and I know that.
It's
so,
true.
And I know that my mother comes to one readings, and she is so happy. She's, everybody comes to your house, because I've taken over her role.
Yes,
bit, you know?
It passed the torch to you.
So yeah, there's that family thing. That's a completely separate thing.
Totally separate thing.
And working with the community. Do you have sisters and brothers?
I do have brothers, a bunch of brothers.
Oh, okay.
But I was going to ask you about one other thing. Do you feel that when you're dealing with an ungrateful person, because long ago I had read that if you, you know, in terms of child rearing and things like that, that if anybody got into like not being grateful for what they have, then you have them volunteer so that they are having to give back to someone, right?
No way to see
so
it again.
So let's say an adult
yeah.
is seems to be acting like a spoiled brat,
yeah.
an adult,
yeah.
then it would be a good idea for them to volunteer so that they can be grateful for what's in their life. So if they volunteer at a soup kitchen or having to pick up trash and actually talk to people that are going through difficulties, they would see something beyond their little circle of issues as they see them
yeah.
and see how other people
yeah.
are having to deal with the
yes.
grit of the
yes.
world.
Yes.
And so do you feel there's a place for, when you're dealing with an ungrateful person, dealing with this ingratitude, there's a place to somehow encourage them to volunteer
yeah, I do.
So that they
yeah.
can get outside of themselves
yeah.
and their own selfish needs
yeah.
so that the ego inside of them can rise
yeah.
up and fly, because it can change perception for them
yeah.
to get into that.
My son went to a high school. Three of them went to a high school that they had to go to a soup kitchen,
mm-hmm.
a nursing home. And he said when he went to the soup kitchen and the people came, but when the children came, it just.
Yeah.
He was, and it had to be part of their growth. The other one went to a nursing home, and he said, Mom, you should hear these people's lives, the stuff that they did. He gets outside of himself and,
yeah.
and he saw something else. So I think a person volunteering and helping other people certainly can help them.
Mm-hmm.
The ungratitude, I guess maybe we got to look at where that's coming from.
Well, like I said, old story of the prince and the pauper.
Yeah.
The prince decides he doesn't like having to be a king, and so he changes clothes.
Yeah.
With the pauper, who looks a bit like him.
Many
and so
stories
he,
and many movies were
yeah,
like
so
that.
Yeah, there are versions of
yeah.
this, of now you have to see how the other half
yeah.
lives, so that you can be grateful for that warm bed,
yes.
and grateful for the people that are doing these amazing things for you on a daily basis.
For some people, when it's taken away from them, like
yeah.
you said, that was a choice they made
yeah.
to change roles. But I think one of the things I just... hitting. Sometimes when people are ungrateful, I think they're coming from a victim standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
They've been victimized.
Yeah. Yeah.
They weren't loved. They weren't given what they needed. And so they walk out their door with an attitude. And the attitude comes across as ungrateful.
Yeah.
You know? And so when you're at the store and somebody almost runs over you with their cart and doesn't even say sorry, you're going to react, but you don't know where they're coming from. It's difficult because you don't necessarily want to get into it because it doesn't justify their attitude.
Right, right.
You know?
It doesn't justify their
no.
attitude. We're coming up into the holidays, to Christmas time and a Christmas carol, and the idea of there's a Scrooge.
Yeah.
There's a Scrooge in all of us that sometimes can emerge, but and we can see it in other people, and you could tell he's ungrateful.
Yeah.
And he wants Cratchit to be grateful for this tiny little thing of coal.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he goes through his changes.
Yeah.
And the spiritual revolution that happens within him, and all of a sudden he's grateful for all kinds of things, and there's joy brimming over in him.
Yeah.
And so sometimes we have to wait until someone hits that time that ignites their soul so that they can then be grateful for all of the things that have gone before, the things that are present in their life, and hold out hope that an individual will get to that point
yeah.
and release your own martyrdom that you may
yeah.
feel during those times. Cratchit, throughout all of it in the story, he still is a giving man of grace.
Yeah.
Dealing with this, it's hard.
Yeah.
But he deals with it. And so sometimes we go through that scarcity of gratitude.
Yeah. I know what you're saying, but I
yeah.
think one of the things out here, we, you know, you're in, let's say you're at Walmart. I like to use Walmart. There's so many different characters.
There's so many characters there.
If you want to see it, go to Walmart.
Yeah.
And so people are coming in with those stories. They all have their stories.
Uh-huh.
And we have to understand something, that their stories are their stories.
Yeah.
If they open up to something positive happening, it's because the God of them opened that up.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do on the outside? You know, sometimes, and I do this all the time, sometimes it's just a smile.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's handing a cart.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's taking a cart out of the way so they can park in a parking place.
Yeah.
It's little tiny things.
Little things that add up in a parking
place. I can't guide them to have these wonderful experiences that we talk, we'd love to see the movies. But it's that person maybe finding gratitude and love from other people that open them up to that experience.
Yeah.
Because these experiences are mind-blowing. They're,
yes.
They shape the rest of their life. Look at, you know, he feels loved by people that he never felt loved by. That had to do inside of himself.
Yeah.
When somebody doesn't feel loved, I'm amazed at how many people don't smile at one another.
Mm-hmm.
I'm amazed at people don't, they're so into themselves, you know. If they're feeling like a victim, they're feeling like a victim. The only thing I can do is show some kindness
yeah.
from outside. I mean, a smile is some, what you're saying is you recognize somebody.
Yeah.
I see that you're there. That can be, maybe that's the only thing I can do. When I go to the store, I decide to do those little things. I make a point of looking to see where I can do that. I mean, I'm not
she
sitting there.
She does. She really does.
I'm not sitting there thinking, what can I do today? It's natural for me to smile to people.
It is.
So, but when I see somebody struggling a little bit, I won't rush in, but I'll wait to see, and someone else rushes in, fine. Sometimes it's just saying, don't use that cart. It's got bad legs, you know,
right.
bad wheels.
Yeah.
And so they smile at you.
I would appreciate you telling me that.
Yeah.
We don't want the wonky
because somebody
wheel.
Else told me.
That's right.
Somebody else told me. And
or when you go to Aldi, you, instead of taking your quarter out, you give it to somebody who's
coming
in.
I always do that.
Yeah.
Sometimes people give me a quarter. Before, I got a quarter in my hand, and they'll say, here's my cart, and I'll say, I will give it away to someone else, because you gave it to
and
me.
And it's just a quarter, but there's
it's
something, I don't know, there's something warm and loving
yeah.
about
or you
passing
take
the cart off.
And you don't even put it, you wait till they get to you, and you say, here, somebody gave this to me, I want to give it to you. It's
yeah,
a quarter.
It's a paid
what does
quarter.
It mean? It might be
quarter
the nicest thing that happened in their life.
It's one little quarter, but it's somehow it means a lot. It means a lot.
I think people don't feel recognized. They don't. They don't know if other people. I mean, some people are by themselves all day long, and they're into their own head. And maybe something. Sometimes just saying something to them, you know. My mother, my sister Lucille does it. She visited here. We had a garage sale. Oh my God! She was out in the middle of the street pulling people in. But she's a talker, and they loved
yeah.
it. And you know, my mother was like that. You know, she would just talk to a stranger and stuff like that. You know, but nowadays you have to be very careful because you can't go anywhere near a child in a car.
Right.
You wouldn't. You'd be
right.
you'd be afraid to touch them, and. So I went to the transfer station, and this man had a two-year-old in his hand, and he's getting out. And I thought, how's he going to get his trash out? He's old, this two-year-old. So I got out of the car. I would never go near him, but I said to him, I was getting ready to ask you if I could hold her while you put the trash in. I would never have done that.
Yeah.
And he just smiled, and he said, I'm going to put her in the seat in the back while I get the touch base.
Yeah, you just touched base.
And you made them smile.
You made them smile.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to share
sure.
with everybody, there was a study done in 2010, which seems like such like a short while ago, but that was like 12 years ago. How did that happen? But a study in 2010 that found that when others express gratitude toward us, we feel a stronger sense of community and appreciation for that person.
Yeah.
And this in turn... relationship. And it's only logical to conclude that without the magic ingredient of gratitude, we instead feel bitter and distance our connection